Check the vibe. Hour 3, RBKD here on The Horn. Get The Horn app. Get thehornfm.com. It's a way back Wednesday. There we go. All right, thumbs up on this.
Yeah.
You're not gonna, we're giving you a little bit of feedback on some stuff. But this is positive feedback for me.
Yeah. I'm not even sure I remember who this is.
I don't either. I'm trying to figure it out, but I'm not, never good at that. But I've definitely heard it a bunch.
Yeah, it's really. So I have no idea.
Hold on.
It's not Mos Def, is it?
No.
It's good.
I don't know what this is.
I hear what you're hearing, though.
Yeah. Who is it?
It's my boys, Q-Tip and Fife Dog.
Okay.
Q-Tip.
Tribe Called Quest.
Right.
Q-Tip. I can see that.
I knew I'd heard this in person. I've seen them a lot in person.
Up in New York?
Really?
Yeah. Or not a lot, but.
But enough.
Enough, yeah.
You've seen them more than once. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Seen Tribe Called Quest more than once. That's a lot. Yeah.
Saw him, I want to say, with Malik. Yeah.
That's legit.
Yeah, I've seen him a couple different times.
That's legit, man.
That, so, that is legit.
Yeah. How do you like that?
No, that's respect.
Now, the respect gets lost with hardcore nerds whenever I'm like, yeah, I'd heard it before, but I couldn't pinpoint it. You know? But that's me with
still
music.
Though, yeah,
so.
That is you with music, though.
That's like a humble brag, if anything.
So yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I saw him a couple times. I don't know.
That, like, is a great humble brag.
It's
good point, John.
Almost the best one of the week, but Rod took that yesterday. If you missed the show,
okay.
Get to hornfm.com.
Right.
Rod talked about how he just could never get a cup that fit. But the way you said it was perfect. No, it wasn't like you just go, man, you know, I was like, did you wear a cup, Rod? You go, man, I could never get one that was like big enough.
No, that's not how
like,
it
used to like pinch me. I just never got enough room. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I just said I did. I got one that was must have been too small. That wasn't what I got. No, I said what I did. That's the truth. It didn't fit me, but it could have been I didn't get one that was big enough. That could have been it.
After that, there you go. That's what we're talking about.
I never tried another cup, so I don't know like what the size of cups are. I have no idea. I was just like, no, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not playing a game like that. That's crazy. Yeah.
It's Rod goes in. Do you guys have the Magnum cup?
Well done.
Does this
the
brand,
gold package?
Does this brand make this? Do you ever see the, what's the, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Oh, I love that show.
DeVito, his character,
oh,
is just out of control.
He is out of control.
DeVito is trying to hit on this chick, and so he gets a bunch of Magnums at the checkout counter and then drops them. It's like, whoa.
I've dropped my Magnum condom for
Danny
my monster
DeVito.
Dog.
That's a great That's a nice little trick, though. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
And if you don't need it. If that
was one of their best episodes.
That's a great
one. That's the one where, how he's getting confused. Glenn, who's the blonde guy?
Which one? A blonde guy?
Yeah, on the show, brown hair.
Are you talking about Rickety Cricket?
No, he's one of the main characters.
Oh, one of the main characters.
Yeah.
They got dark hair.
Yeah,
right?
You got Mac.
Yeah,
it's
Mac.
It's not Mac. Who's the other one? Who's the other guy?
Oh, the skinny guy?
Yeah.
I don't remember his name.
All right. I forgot his name, too.
The sociopath.
Yeah. Yes. And it's one of
Dennis.
Those sociopaths.
Dennis.
Dennis.
Yeah.
Dennis.
And it's the Dennis system.
Oh,
where
the Dennis
each
system.
Letter
yes.
is something to
of
just
course,
do something
yes.
awful to a woman.
No, you're right.
But
Dennis.
Just sleep with her without having to be
one.
In a relationship with her.
I remember that
it
one.
It was the Dennis system is, yeah, that's one of, that is a fantastic episode. Sociopathic. But fantastic.
Oh, no. That show's still on, too. Speaking of shows that have been going
on,
I haven't that
watched,
show's still on.
I haven't watched a new episode of that in probably 5 years. Is it still good?
No, keep going.
I probably
really?
Haven't watched a
yes.
new one in like 3 years.
The show, it's kept its formula right, and they keep just like elevating it just a little bit each season, so it keeps staying fresh.
Well, honestly.
I love that Mac and the chick in real life are married.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I follow both them on Twitter.
I also love the fact that Mac gained all that weight for the show and no one else would do it with him. Do you know that story?
So I'd heard a little bit about that. I didn't realize the other people wouldn't do it. I knew he
yeah,
had gained weight.
Yeah, they were like,
the
what
show.
If we gained a whole bunch of weight for this like next upcoming seasons and then we wouldn't like recognize it? And everyone like, what's happened to them? And they're like, no, that's funny, but we're not going to do that.
He's
and
like,
then
yeah,
Mac's like, you know what? I'm going to do that.
I don't want to develop diabetes. Just
yeah,
for
he
the
got
show.
Really fat and then he got really ripped.
That's hilarious.
He did get really ripped too.
Larry David tried that. So Larry David, or no, it was Jerry. I think Jerry, because Larry David was gone. One of the times Elaine was pregnant, so it was later on, maybe like her second or third kid,
yeah.
and the show wasn't as funny anymore. And there you go, a little shot. And so Jerry said, hey, why don't we write it as Elaine's gotten fat? and Elaine just starts bursting out in tears, or Julia Louis-Dreyfus starts bursting out in tears.
What?
Jerry's like,
really?
All right, we won't do that. You know, she was hormonal and emotional. That's true. And
she's such a comic genius, though. I know. She would have, but I understand why.
So
she's like,
during the coffee show with him, where he takes her out, he brings that up. That's a great episode. And you can tell that they really like each other. Very brother-sister. And he's like, do you remember that? He's like, and you started crying. And she said, I got to say, she said, you're an a-hole and you just don't understand how to deal with people. So, you know, your interpersonal skills are not good.
It's part of what made him a comic genius.
But you're right. Exactly. We should have done that.
Yeah.
She actually regretted it. We should have written that Elaine had gotten fat.
It'd have been hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, she'd have been around eating and everybody's like, yeah. You know how George would have played it, too. Like, just looking at her like, Elaine, have you?
No, George of all people would have, you know,
you could have played
looked down
so
on
ways.
Her. And it's like, George, you've not been in good shape the whole time we've seen you.
Yeah, no, it's like when George finally got a toupee and started judging people who
John
didn't
Lovitz,
have hair.
That was great. Remember when Lovitz come in? I just need a little touch up.
No, remember he wouldn't date the woman because she was bald? And he's like, George, you're bald! He's like, I was bald.
I was bald. That's when Elaine lost it. Elaine was trying to rip that thing off.
Great, great.
Oh, man. I've been waiting for Chris Sims to do that on Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football.
With who?
Drew, I'm kidding.
You're bald!
Those are plugs. Hey, before we get to Texas, Oklahoma State, we got to throw this in there. A guy who used to be fat, who's not fat anymore. And great example. Guy who used to be fat, was a fat kid the whole time.
That's right.
Was made fun of. And now he is easily the biggest fat shamer on this station. Is that fair?
Oh, Trey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of laugh at the fat shaming at times. He is a legitimate fat shamer. Like, taking it too far and making people feel bad about it.
Well, because he feels like he can do that because he was once fat.
He was once fat.
Like, it's like me talking. Like, I can say stuff about black people that y'all really can't. All right? Because I'm black.
Boy, you can say that again.
Exactly. Yeah. So he feels the same way about like people who are overweight. He's like, no, I was once overweight.
I know.
So I get to get on people and say things that people who are obviously not that close to that community can say.
So two things that happened here. One, I'm still poaching stuff from Derek's desk. And Derek's gone in Vegas the whole time.
That's right.
He's gone until Friday.
Shout out.
Look, I've been killing these wasabi peas.
Oh, man. Look at you.
They're so good.
He just keeps those in his desk?
Yeah.
He keeps food in his desk only for you guys.
Pretty much.
No, everybody's over there. Christina's over there.
But I've eaten the whole bag.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm going to have to buy him a new bag.
You got
to
replace the bag.
I mean, it's the only thing I can do.
Human decency.
Exactly. Yeah. But as I'm there and I'm stealing his stuff, I see something that's worse. And we've got the sign in and sign out for our trucks here, right? For our vans.
Yeah.
So we do remotes. And a lot of it's Trevor. A lot of it's Derek. Some of it is, who else am I missing here? Patrick.
Yeah.
Christina. And at the very bottom, it says Trey Elling. I'm like, well, Trey would have done this. Trey is messing with the logs and said Trey Elling and then for description, why? Said some yoga thing. Filled it out, too. What is this guy doing here?
I don't know what. Trey's just bored.
Obviously.
He's
probably doing else. He's probably stealing some food.
Well, and he's mischievous, too.
Yes. No.
He's
that's
mischievous.
That's what I thought of. That's something I would have done at 13.
Yeah, he's just he's randomly causing little.
Instead of 43, I just stole people's food.
Yeah. Well, it's not stealing because he knows you're taking it.
He does. And
it's
he said I could,
stealing.
Too.
Stealing. Yeah, he's giving you permission. So.
If you got permission, it's not stealing.
It's not stealing.
Yeah. That's I could probably limit
abusing
exactly.
his kindness. Yeah.
Thank you, John. That's what I'm doing. That's the maturity we're talking
you're
about.
Not a thief.
All right, let's get into Texas, Oklahoma State here a little bit, and let's get some Mike Gundy here. Let's see if we can get six ready here because Casey Thompson. You mentioned it earlier. Rod, right now, if it ends tomorrow, he may be the first team all Big 12 quarterback.
It's crazy to think, but I mean, Spencer Rattler just got benched. I'm trying to think of a Big 12 quarterback that's better than Casey right now.
I mean, we can go through it.
I can't think
Bo Hannon get that? Does Bo Hannon get that?
I'm just saying it's up for grabs.
Right.
I think right now. So Casey right now with this offense and Sark's offense has got as good a shot as anybody. Now that Spencer Rattler's out of the race.
Yeah. It's not going to be Spencer Sanders. It's not going to be Purdy. It's not going to be Duggan. It's not going to be Columbia. I doubt it.
No. I think it's Casey right now.
It would be. Yeah, I'm looking at it. It would be.
Isn't
that's
crazy.
Crazy?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's crazy.
Now, how would Mike Gundy's team be if they actually had Casey Thompson? He did give him a ride. Actually, six.
Will We offered him, I think he was a junior, early as junior year maybe. I can't remember. That's been a long time ago. We offered him. We liked him from day one. He came to camp. CT and his wife came up in my office, and we visited and had good conversation. And Yurcich and myself, and told him we felt like that he'd be a really good player in the Big 12 Conference and wanted him to come to Oklahoma State. And I asked CT, or Charles, I asked him if he was okay with that. He said, sure, if he wants to come to Oklahoma State, I'm good with it. And then we offered and kind of hung around, but in the end, we weren't in the picture for whatever reason.
Yeah, and he also admitted that him and Charles Thompson, actually, like, when he was in high school, they played on the same all-state team or something.
Yeah, which is...
And is there another question?
Not totally shocking.
Yeah, no, it's not. Is it Quinn Groves or something like that?
No.
He said they were all three on the same all-state team. Like,
yeah,
on the west
Quinn
side.
Grovey,
okay, there you go.
Who was the Arkansas guy.
Oh,
heard,
I didn't know.
You've heard me talk about him.
Okay, he said they were, like, it was basically a recruiting battle between Oklahoma State, and Arkansas for all of them. Like, they were trying to offer all of them. Anyway, it was interesting.
That's
but
crazy.
He knows Charles Thompson really well, and, you know, he liked Casey Thompson. They recruited him and Spencer Sanders at the same time. And he actually tells the story of, you know, I told them both the same thing. I told Casey Thompson, I really like you. I told Spencer Sanders, I really like you. He said, I meant it both. I like both of them.
Yeah, you couldn't mean that both.
Yeah, he said, I couldn't take both of them, but I really like both of them. And I told him, and I told Casey Thompson, you'd be a damn good quarterback right now. I'd say this, though, if Casey Thompson was on this Oklahoma State team right now, they'd be much more formidable.
Oh, without a doubt.
He makes better decisions than Spencer Sanders. Spencer Sanders is the reason that this Oklahoma State formula is so fragile.
Yep.
Because they play excellent special teams, which, by the way, Pro Football Focus has them rated as the top special teams unit in the Big 12. They do. And we know Texas plays great special teams, too. But they play excellent defense. SP Plus has them as the eighth best defense in the country. FEI, Football Outsiders Defensive FEI, has them as the ninth best defense
top
in
10.
The country. Top 10. So, but it's their offense. They're like 78th. Offensively, by SP Plus standards, and
they're 83rd in total
bad.
Yardage and NCAA numbers, just, so right there with Texas A&M.
They're terrible. Yeah.
So, look at this picture with Mike Gundy and Charles Thompson when they're in high school.
Does he have a Jerry curl? Is there a curl?
Yeah, Gundy doesn't. You would think so.
No.
Charles. Oh yeah. You kidding me? Jerry curls were big then, man. Jerry Gray had a Jerry curl, mm-hmm. and it was awesome.
Man, I don't know how they had the Jerry curls out the helmet. You would think the Jerry curl juice would get into their eyes.
You would think the juice
and blind
would.
Them. The juice was.
Because a lot of those guys weren't wearing do-rags back
in
the day.
No, they were just going straight up Jerry
straight
curl
up Jerry
into
curl.
The helmet. And I'm like, man, how'd that Jerry curl
that
juice not getting you sweat and getting you? And then it gets on your head. Then it's so slick.
The helmet had to look like the sofa in Coming to America.
I mean, come on.
Got to.
Jerry curl, you know what? I know what they did. You couldn't juice up the Jerry curl before you went out to play.
So that was actually the natural, just sweat Jerry curl.
Because think about it, if you juice it up before you go out there to play.
Oh, it'd been squeezing like a sponge.
It's going to get in your eyes and all over your face.
No way.
Have that thing could have been.
Look at Gundy's hair.
A disaster. Yeah,
that was so Oklahoma 80s. I'm in high school hair.
Man, look at that
white guy hair.
Yeah.
Just straight down.
Mike Gundy.
That looks like, actually looks like it would have been one of Chad's athletic cousins who would come to play with him in Waxahachie and torture him. No, it does. You know that's dead on.
Oh, man. You know what? I'm not even bringing that up.
What? No, bring it up.
No, I was going to bring up something about Mike Gundy, and I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it.
OAN?
No. Worse allegations than these OAN stories.
Okay.
No, I'm not bringing it up. No, right. You shouldn't bring it up either because you might think of it during this segment. Let's talk football.
I didn't even know what OAN was until that story.
You're right. That was a big moment for
OAN.
And
I've never seen it, so I don't know how bad it is, but I just thought that was so crazy that we're at a spot where you can watch a station and get crap for it.
Yeah, that
or
was.
Or wear the T-shirt.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, are we going too far with this?
Man.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen it. Maybe it's that mean.
It's like if somebody wants to watch that news network, let
go
them
for
watch
it.
That news network. It's America.
Yeah, it's America.
Yeah,
that's one of the beautiful things about it.
That's exactly. I wasn't bringing that up either. Okay, but about the, you know, starting to talk about Oklahoma State and what a difference, right? What a reinvention they've gone through. I don't know if Mike Gundy's comfortable with it. I think that Mike Gundy decided to invest resources and to really kind of change their model to a defensive approach. Not only because he knew that I can't try to keep up this scoring approach with everybody, because now everybody is trying to outscore everybody. Everybody wants to get into a shootout. Even in the SEC, where they used to want to play defense and run the ball, now they want to get into shootouts. So I think Mike Gundy decided, I can't win that way, because now everybody wants to win that way. I got to try to win another way. He's zigging when everybody else is zagging. He's going to control the ball. They devoted more scholarships to defense. They devoted more resources to defense and changed their approach to more positionless football with their back seven. And it's paying off. How about this stat about Mike Gundy? First time that Mike Gundy has won back-to-back games over ranked opponents since 2013.
Yeah. No, they're actually, for the first time in school history, they're going for three in a row. Which
exactly.
Would be this.
And they're doing it with
never done that in school history.
One of the worst offenses Mike Gundy's ever had.
Yeah.
And I think he's scheming around the offense because he's an offensive guy.
They scheme around Spencer Sanders the way that Sark has to scheme around this offensive line.
Pretty much, yeah.
Fragile.
It's exactly right. So I think that...
You know how many things they have to take off the board because of him?
Well, I'm sure a ton of stuff.
A lot.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Texas O-line.
Yeah, but...
I'd love to run that. That's a great concept, but this is not going to work against that defense. Why? Because of us.
Well, but Spencer Sanders, physically, he doesn't have a ton of limitations. I mean, he's got a cannon for an arm. He can run.
He's agile.
It's his decision-making, and that's what puts this formula at risk. You cannot be a defensive-oriented team and want to win the game with defense, special teams, and controlling the ball, and then a guy that has three picks versus Baylor. They should have lost that game. I don't know how they lost. That was the first game ever for a Mike Gundy coach team, if they won the game by being -3 in a turnover margin, at least -3 in a turnover margin, and not creating a turnover themselves.
Right.
First win he's ever had.
They've done that because they used to have teams with Bobby Reed and Zach where they may throw three or four picks, but they were getting something back.
They get a couple of picks themselves.
You keep that.
And then
close
the turnover margin
right.
is one or something like that. It's not such a wide disparity, but to win a game with having, -3 in a turnover margin?
Yeah.
That is crazy. And they did that. They're getting comfortable winning in the most stressful situations. So if you're Texas, I wonder if Sark's thinking to himself, this could end up being a fourth quarter game. And if it does, I wonder if the advantage switches to Oklahoma State at that point.
I mean, if you look at Texas in the fourth quarter, it would.
Texas right now is being outscored in the fourth quarter. Only quarter they're being outscored in is the fourth quarter, and they've had their biggest breakdowns, it would seem, defensively in the fourth quarter. Why? Because the defensive front is worn out. The tackling seems a little bit suspect. Defensive backs lose mental intensity and focus,
whatever
it is. But you know what I'm saying? So, in Oklahoma State, all they want to do is make it a fourth quarter game. That's all they care about is make it a fourth quarter game. So I wonder if you're Sark, you might even think about the same thing you did against Oklahoma and just get the hell off. Like get off in a feverish pace to a hell of a start, and that way you at least build somewhat of a cushion. You got to anticipate your team could potentially not show up in the fourth quarter again.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you absolutely got to be there, Rod. The quarterback play at Stillwater, went and rewatched the game last night. I'll watch it one more time tonight, and I'm getting that thing off my damn DVR. I'm at 98%, and I've got Baylor Oklahoma State sitting there for a couple
weeks.
Yeah,
get that off.
And I only kept it, obviously, for this week to have a better eye on Oklahoma State. I was going to keep it for Baylor. I'll tape another Baylor game. I'll look at that. But Gary Bohannon was not great. He was 13-27. Spencer Sanders was awful. He was 13-23. Had one touchdown, had three picks. Tay Martin's been good for them. He's been a guy that if they had a quarterback, Tay Martin would be someone, Rod, we'd have to worry about. I'm not worried about him because of Spencer Sanders.
Yes.
They ran Jaylen Warren 36 times. Remember after this game, I said this reminds me of a Jamal Lewis NFL game from 15 years ago where it was an ugly-ass game to watch and even uglier to rewatch. But they will continue to pound Warren. They don't care if he's not getting a lot per clip. They don't care.
They don't care.
That's what worries me with this Texas defense.
Care.
That dam will break at some point. The one thing I did notice in the rewatch, they schemed up some Spencer Sanders stuff well and off schedule. What hurt Texas this last week?
Off schedule. Sark said it. He was like, that's the off schedule stuff that's hurting us. Like, well, next week is Spencer Sanders.
Yeah.
He lives in the off schedule world. That's where he wants to be.
When he's on schedule, he's off schedule.
When he's exactly.
His on schedule is off schedule.
His on schedule is off schedule.
Yeah.
Somebody who's always on schedule, my friends over at Sign Up Ranch Steakhouse. And even when they're off schedule, it's still really damn good. I call it the best restaurant in Central Texas. And you hear me bragging about them here on these airways all the time. They got the best views, along with the most exquisite cuisine and the best service of any restaurant in Central Texas. It takes an exceptional team to make the Sign Up Ranch Steakhouse experience truly special. And now, my friends at Sign Up Ranch Steakhouse, they're hiring at all positions, including managers, hostesses, servers, line cooks, and kitchen staff as well. Sign Up Ranch Steakhouse also, they're offering competitive wages for all new employees. And Sign Up Ranch Steakhouse is synonymous with exceptional style and impeccable standards, and that's because Sign Up Ranch Steakhouse has an extraordinary group of men and women that make up their staff, and now you can be a part of this all-star team at Sign Up Ranch Steakhouse. For employment inquiries, give them a call at 512-381-0800 or visit steinersteakhouse.com to submit your resume and contact information. That's Sign Up Ranch Steakhouse. It isn't just a steakhouse. It's an experience, so experience it for yourself today at Steiner Ranch Steakhouse.
If Spencer Sanders has three picks in Austin, Texas is probably winning that.
No, probably about it.
They're winning that.
Their formula is too fragile, and their offense is
It also means they probably had to throw.
Yes, you want to get them into a – that's why I said if you're Texas, you want to get off to a fast start. You want to get a lead early because you want to force desperation on them. You want them to start thinking that, man, if Texas scores again, they're going to pull away from us.
Yep.
All right? And then we're going to have to get into a shootout scenario, and Oklahoma State doesn't want to play. Literally, Mike Gundy has said it. He has literally said it, right? He said, I don't want to get into a shootout. What he said. Matter of fact.
Actually, cut five, John. Let's get to it before we get to Rod's rant. This is exactly what Rod's talking about.
Yeah, I don't prefer to not get in a shootout with them. They've done some of that. With big plays, and they accomplished some of that Saturday with big plays. And we all know that in this league, defensively, one of the most important things that we can get accomplished is minimizing big plays. And I would prefer to not get in a shootout with them.
Yeah. He's already.
Which said, is so. It's so funny because that's all. That's all this game was when you were in college. Right after, there was a 10-year span where this was a fun one. This was nationally. This was a fun one to watch. This was like watching BYU Hawaii
exactly
in one of those games.
Yeah, I mean, even recently when either side gets blown out, it's still a lot of scoring in these games.
Yeah,
and I say blown out, but beaten. Badly. Still a lot of scoring in those games. So, all right, we'll come back and go to Raj's rant of the day. We're talking Oklahoma State. I mean, I'm not going to bury the lead there. We're talking Oklahoma State. We'll get into that defense. I want you guys to get to know this defense a little bit. So I'll go over some news, little nuggets, and some of the headlines about this defense from the last few weeks. And we'll talk about how Texas is going to attack this Oklahoma State defense. All that and more right here on RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260.
Mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real!
My God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
No, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to RBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day. I want to talk about this Oklahoma State defense. We'll get into the Oklahoma State offense a little bit later, but there's just not much to talk about there. I mean, pretty much.
Man.
Yeah, right. It's Jalen Warren, it's Tay Martin, and
Tay's really good. I wish we had.
Oh no, he's a good player. I mean, when I watch film on him, I mean, he's their number one wide receiver. If they have a number one wide receiver,
no question,
he's their guy. He's had at least 100 yards receiving in every game where he has basically been featured.
Where they've been throwing the football.
Well, because he appeared in four games, but he only had two plays versus Tulsa, and I think he was hurt.
Yep.
Because they've had a ton of injuries offensively. That's what's also scary. They're getting guys back.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, defensively, too. They've down like two starters on defense.
Yeah, Sterling will be out this
Trey game, Sterling's out, and they had Brock Martin, I believe, has been out, too. So they've been down like a couple of starters on this defense, which has been one of the best in the country. Like, it's been really, really good. I'll get into that in a second. But, yeah, on offense, Tay Martin, at least 100 yards receiving in every game where he's actually played more than two snaps, more than two plays. And, of course, he had 108 yards on seven catches versus Baylor. So he's getting pretty good. He's trending in the right direction. And Jalen Warren, as you brought up, and versus Baylor, was it 36 rushes?
Yeah.
Now, they will ride. He has 96 rushes. 96 rushes in the last three games.
Yeah. He had 27 against K-State. He had, what, 35 against – or 36 against Baylor?
He is the key for them slowing the game down. He was newcomer of the week for the Big 12 versus Baylor and for the Boise State game, so he's actually been really, really good. He was offensive player of the week in the Big 12 for the Boise State game as well. But they want to slow the game down. I brought up that I was listening to Light the Tower with Craig Way and Jeff Howe earlier. If you want to you should go – podcast that really good conversation there. They always have a great show, but it was really, really good today because they had Dave Hunziker on. He told the story that going into that Boise State game, they had so many injuries. They end up having two receivers make their first start ever. A freshman walk on ended up having the game sealing reception in that game. He told their offensive coordinator Casey Dunn that he wanted them to run only 55 plays the entire game, and Casey Dunn was like, "Coach, that is coaching malpractice. That's suicide. What are we doing? That's terrible." And he's like, "Well, I want you to try to get to 55 as close as you can," because they want to slow the game down to a snail's pace. And that's what they want to do against Texas, too. With that prolific offense, they want to try to slow things down. That's the form that's been working for them. It's field position and really game ball control. That's what they want to focus on. But let's get to the defense, because the defense has been really, really impressive. There are a couple of stats that are just kind of mind-blowing about the defense, even if the competition hasn't been stellar. I mean, they played Baylor, they've played Boise State, K-State. I mean, I get it. Some people are not really impressed
Missouri State and Tulsa, but that was start the season.
And Tulsa's not good. Tulsa's like 1-4.
Boise State looks better.
Boise State, they beat BYU, correct?
Beat BYU. Just upset BYU. Top 10.
And I think that was surprising for a lot of folks. So still, I think it's early. So I'm not saying this defense is going to continue to look this good. Hell, those stats are going to fall off a little bit versus Texas. But here's a great stat about the Oklahoma State defense. They surrendered just 99 yards of total offense in the first half versus Baylor. They've allowed less than 100 yards of offense in a single half in four straight games.
Four straight. Mm-hmm.
I'll repeat.
Read that today.
Less than 100 yards of offense in a single half in four straight games. Man, that's crazy. So the defense is really good. So I wouldn't look at advanced metrics for the defense, because sometimes with some of the kind of antiquated stats that we have, they don't give you.
By the way, one of those was Boise State, 64 yards in the second half.
It's unbelievable.
64 yards in the second half.
It's crazy, man. It gets
a team to just beat a top 10 team.
That's what I'm saying. Some of those stats are like
Kansas State 84 in the second half.
Yeah. So
getting back to your fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Thing.
So I don't care who you're going up against and what the competition is. That's still impressive. Texas not punting twice in consecutive
games. Doesn't
matter.
It's impressive.
And not punting at all. Sorry, in back to back games. That's impressive. I don't care who it was going to be. Rice. I don't care if it's Texas Tech. I don't care who it is. So one of the stats that really impresses me about this defense is third down, and they last year, people don't really notice about Oklahoma State, they had the best third down defense in the country.
Nation.
In the country. FBS. They were the best third down defense in the nation last year.
It kind of gets back to your point, Rod. This is more of who they've been.
They've been trending this
way.
They held
14 of the last 16 Big 12 opponents under their scoring average.
Yeah. This is not an aberration. This is something we've been trending toward for a little while now.
This is what the program is.
This was intentional and deliberate.
Yeah.
That Mike Gundy wanted to become this. And now they are starting to get comfortable with this new identity. So I went and started looking at third down defense. I think this game could come down to third down defense. Texas right now, eighth in the country in third down defense. They're leading the Big 12 in third down defense. Right now, Oklahoma State, which led the country last year in third down defense, they are currently 14th at allowing 29%. Third down conversion percentage, which is not obviously number one, but they're still up there with the elites in third down defense. That's going to be crucial. What did Sark talk about in the second half of that game versus Oklahoma? The third downs came back to haunt them.
First down killed them because it got to third down
exactly.
And long, and it was over with.
Exactly. Once they got into third and long, it allowed Oklahoma to be able to pin their ears back. You put them in predictable passing situations, and then Sark kind of lost his mojo when they got into those third and longs. So you want to avoid those, and you don't want to get into third and long versus Oklahoma State. That's what they do well. They do it really well. The calls for it are really good, but also the personnel that they have. And this is why the personnel is key. And I brought up that fact that, you know, Mike Gundy now has decided to go to more of a positionless football approach in the back seven. You brought up that Gary Patterson has also had this approach for many years. And John Heacock, of course, there at Iowa State, also believes similarly in that approach. Let's get more versatile hybrid players in the back seven. Why? Why is that important? Well, because football has come down to matchups. Guys like Sark want to isolate matchups. All the pre-snap motion, all of the funky formations, the condensed compressed sets, the bunch formations, all of that is built around trying to isolate usually one guy. I'm trying to go after that. Well, I go on my guy on that guy that needs space. So I'm trying to create space, usually formationally creating space, but usually with my personnel packages and usually with pre-snap motions, changing leverage, I can isolate
picking on
a defender.
One guy.
Yeah, that's what you want to do, right? It's putting somebody in constant in conflict. So RPO's about.
I probably talked about that too much in radio 15 years ago.
Exactly.
I would get it, and people were like, well, it's not just a one-on-one matchup. I understand that.
It is.
But in terms of the thought with the offensive coordinator, yeah. That's what you're isolating.
When Shano's coming up with a game plan, he's looking for the weakest link,
yeah.
And then he's going to pull at that thread till the whole damn thing unravels. And when you
Billy Pittman on one of the Ting brothers.
Exactly. And when you adjust to it, you're going to leave yourself open somewhere else.
Yep.
And then I'm going to hit that one.
There you go.
That's kind of how it works. So that's kind of what this new approach is built to avoid. You have so many hybrid players on the back end. Remember, you know, you got – take Malcolm Rodriguez, for example, right? He is considered the best player on the Oklahoma State defense. I believe he's leading the Big 12 in tackles. He's been unbelievable for them. He's been really, really good.
He's your Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year if it ends tomorrow.
He could, yes. If it is tomorrow, he is definitely that guy. He's Defensive Player of the Week already twice this year, for the Tulsa game and the K-State game. And you're right, I think if it ended today, he's the guy.
And I may have missed someone in there. There may be a Stills, but the guys I've seen, that's your guy.
Yeah. He came in as he was a quarterback in high school, came in as a safety, and now is playing linebacker.
Yep.
Right?
Hit the training table, but kept some of that speed.
Yep. That's a similar transition for a lot of these guys on the back end for Mike Gundy, and it's purposeful so that you don't have so many disadvantageous matchups on the back seven. You try to match up with Malcolm Rodriguez, like, oh, no, we're gonna put that linebacker isolated in the space. He's not accustomed to that. Actually, he is. He used to be a safety and a quarterback.
Does.
He actually knows he's a wrestler too. He knows about leverage. He knows a lot how to work in space. He knows about angles. A lot of linebackers are uncomfortable in that space, but not him. The other linebacker, I think his name is Devin Harper, came in as an athlete, recruited as an athlete, and they just turned him into a linebacker. So he's got a lot of spread babies on the back end who are comfortable in space. So all those matchups that Sark is trying to isolate, they're not as easy to exploit as a lot of defenses on the back seven. That's important. And I'll throw this out there, too. My biggest concern in this game is the matchups, and we'll go over some of these individually later in the week. Individually, the wide receivers matching up against their DBs. Their DBs are really good. I mean, I think they're the best. They might have the best overall secondary in the Big 12.
I think they do right now. I thought TCU would have been up there.
Yeah, it sounds like safeties, corners.
It's not Oklahoma.
Slots.
It's not Texas.
I think it might. Yeah, exactly. I think it's Oklahoma State. And, I mean, and one of their best players, Trey Sterling, is out. They got Tanner McAllister, number two, Colby Harville-Pill, who's number 31, I believe. Jason Taylor, number 25, who's been in because Trey Sterling got hurt. Their two corners are Christian Holmes and Jarek Bernard Converse. So I got to get that out.
Some serial killers.
They do. But I want to focus on the corners because those are the importance. They will play man-to-man bump-and-run coverage. And the reason that's not as big of a deal as it was last year is because Sark uses more bunch formations. He moves his receivers around more, so they'll get freer releases with condensed and compressed sets. But if he doesn't, if he gets lazy with that, right, and he's not building a ton of those cheat codes to help those wide receivers get free releases, and he leaves Joshua Moore out there on an island,
yep.
They're going to play bump and run them. They're going to jam them, and they're going to take them out.
They're
going to take them out of the equation. And when they do
it's two veteran guys, too.
Exactly.
It's a redshirt senior and then definitely a senior.
Exactly. They've already seen Joshua Moore a lot. They know exactly how to cover Joshua Moore, especially when you don't have him in a slot for like a slot formation, or you don't have him in a bunch set or something like that where he can get a free release.
Yeah.
Exactly. So my concern is this with –
two-way go. Let me save the text line on that.
The two-way go. I knew what you were talking about.
I know you did. I'm not worried about your brain.
But I'm glad you want to clear that up. My concern is this. I know we're up against the break. X-Man with the game that he had. X-Man was unbelievable. 260-some yards receiving. Was the second all-time greatest receiving game in Texas football history.
Third, I think.
Something like that. I mean, it was for a freshman, it was just unbelievable. Unbelievable for anybody, let alone for a freshman, I should say. They are going to double him. They're going to roll coverage his way in passing down. They'd be stupid not to. That guy's too damn fast.
Especially with four out.
Exactly, especially with Trey Sterling out, they're going to do that.
Well, and I was thinking Jordan Whittington.
As I'm saying, with Jordan Whittington out, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're gonna do that. And I think with when you start looking, because I think if they had a Trey Sterling out there, they wouldn't be afraid. He's one of their better matchup defenders, so they probably figure, hey, we can leave him maybe on an eye a little bit. So they're going to be missing Trey Sterling, and Texas is going to be missing Jordan Whittington, which makes them easier to defend. So, yes, with that extra defender who I would devote to, oh, no, I need Trey Sterling. I need you matched up on Jordan Whittington. It almost helps them out. Now it almost cancels each other out. You're missing Trey Sterling, who uses one of your better slot defenders, and he's one of your better interior DBs, and you're going to be missing now your best interior wide receiver, basically your best slot wide receiver in Jordan Whittington, who I'll give you the Chip Brown stat because I think it's a great stat to end this segment on about how important Jordan Whittington is. Chip Brown throws out there that Jordan Whittington's 24 receptions of them, 11 of them came on third down. 9 of those third down catches sustained drives, including 8 drives that ended in touchdowns. So he was your third down money man. You're not going to have him. That usually would become X-Man. Now I'm going double X-Man or roll coverage his way. If you leave Joshua Moore out on that island by himself, I'm going to bump and run him and take him out, and then I'm coming after them. Them old linemen. Coming at them. Slant games up front. Casey Thompson's going to have a long day. Sark cannot allow that to happen. Can't allow that to happen.
Totally with you.
He got over. If he lets that happen, I'm going to be really upset on Monday. I'm going to throw something.
I know you are.
I'm going to throw something.
Throw it, John.
We're talking about it on Wednesday.
I know.
So you've got plenty of time to solve it.
We've done that a lot, though, throughout the week.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm going to be mad.
Bring something up. And
if Joshua Moore is taken out of the game and then they're rolling coverage to X-Man and you don't have a contingency plan and a plan B, that's going to be upsetting because that seems to be common sense.
Yeah.
That they're going to approach it that way.
He mentioned Kelvonte Dixon. We played that clip of maybe Kelvonte is one of those guys who could step up.
He could.
Someone's going to have to step up, whether it's Marcus Washington, Kelvonte Dixon, but he's got to also understand what the defense is going to be. And they are going to roll coverage. They're going to bracket. They're going to essentially double team and just take Worthy out of this, which is obvious, right?
Come on now. That's obvious.
Jim Knowles has been doing this too long.
Thank you.
He knows what he's doing. All right, we'll continue with the Texas-Oklahoma State talk all week long. Coming up next, a little off the record, too. I didn't even know this was going on, and I flipped on the news stations today, and I couldn't believe that we got a guy who was in Star Trek who is kind of reliving it or actually living it. We'll tell you about it up next. Drums, please. Will and DJ. Jazzy Jeff.
This is nice. This is actually, man, among Will Smith songs, that's hard to get. It's hard to top Summertime.
Yeah. I mean, parents just don't understand. But
see, this is
I'm
better
just
than
bringing
parents.
Me back.
This is better than
that's
parents.
That's the 8 or 9 year old me talking or 7 year old talking. That God, we love that song. And it obviously was built for us.
Yes. I mean, he was.
Man, I hope there weren't like 30 year olds rocking that.
He was like,
man, my parents just don't understand.
PG-13 rhymes, man. PG rhymes. They would be PG-13. PG rhymes.
Yeah.
He was smart. He's basically making.
He was like a cigarette company, but after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, he was really preying on kids and young minds in building what was going to be an empire.
He was a candy cigarette.
He was a candy cigarette guy. I was going straight Ciggies, but yeah.
Well, for him, cigarettes, that's basically
that
what the purpose was.
I would have been listening to Will Smith and...
Yeah, we were all faking like we were smoking cigarettes with the candy cigarettes.
Do you remember you get it on the wrong end and be like, oh man, it doesn't look as cool. I got to get the pink end to be on the out.
Exactly.
Well,
come on,
man. It
tastes
the same, dude.
It did taste the same. It wasn't great tasting candy. It just looked like a cigarette, so it made it cool.
That's where I'll get Big League Chew. That was actually good gum.
That was good gum.
Bubble tape, good gum.
That's true. It was quality gum.
Taught me how to pack a can way before I needed to.
No, you're right. You're right. They had the little can. Oh, yeah. Man. The psychology that they're using to get kids hooked on things early.
How dare they?
We're okay. We ended up all right.
We're fine.
It's okay.
We're fine. Hey, were you hooked on Star Trek, either of you guys? John, I can see you being a Star Trek guy.
I'm a Star Wars guy.
Don't know how to take that, but, you know, I'll roll
Don't take
with
it well. I'm kidding.
I liked Next Generation just because my dad had it on the TV a lot.
I know.
Growing up, but
which one was that?
That's
the
one with LeVar Burton.
Yeah, it was LeVar.
Yeah, LeVar Burton. Yeah. Okay. Picard. This wasn't Kirk.
Yeah.
Generation.
And
I watched that.
Shatner
later.
Was Kirk.
Shatner was James T. Kirk.
And the acting was so bad that it ended up kind of making him a legend, right? It was real kind of choppy.
We need to go.
It was overacting.
Overacted. And then he had his line of spoken beat poetry and song recitations that are kind of notorious now. Have you heard about any of these?
And this is after the fact.
He's become a bit
Ground
of an icon.
Control to Major Tom.
He's got like albums, right?
Oh yeah, full albums.
Like full albums.
Yeah. he has monetized people mocking him.
Oh yeah,
for his job.
Smart move.
Yeah.
It's a smart move.
He's playing a character, 100%.
Yeah. No. If you're self-deprecating in the right way, you can make a ton of money off of these days if you're a star.
Fantastic roast on Comedy Central.
Oh,
I
yeah.
forgot Did what you... Geraldo, but there were a couple like Geraldo and them.
Because he's got so much stuff to make fun of.
And he was cool about it.
He's still cool.
Yeah, he is. Make fun of me.
And he actually has a cool way about him. Like, he actually
he
is
does.
A,
you're
like,
right
not
about
just
that.
Cool, like, oh, he's a nice guy. But, like, you know, he's a cool. People think of William Shatner as cool.
Yeah.
Like, he's cool.
I think it'd be fun. So he's 90.
I didn't realize he was 90, though.
He's 90 years old.
That's very old.
And today, he became the oldest person to ever reach the edge of space.
Space cowboy.
62 miles above Earth. I know you follow the sea fight that these two guys are having with Elon Musk. It was Jeff Bezos.
It was Bezos. It's because Blue Origin. He's got
You're
the Blue Origin. SpaceX is
No, I'm impressed by that.
Yeah.
So it's Blue Origin. You know they reuse the same shuttle?
It's pretty amazing.
That's crazy.
It basically lands back down, right? The shuttle?
Yeah.
Like,
but
and they reuse
it
the same
starts
one.
Off as a penis and then it comes down as like I don't know, something you'd see at a Astro World in one of the water parks. Mm-hmm. Where it's like it's a circular thing that the whole family can sit in. And that's how it comes down. But the penis apparently comes back down and knows how to land.
The phallic-shaped craft.
And most penises don't know how to land.
Why do you keep calling it a penis?
Once they've hit orbit, because it looks like one.
It does look
I
like
mean,
one.
Come on.
It is phallic. It is very phallic shaped.
It looks
and
like
a lot of
one.
People think
I'm
Jeff
not
Bezos,
stretching that.
And if Jeff Bezos didn't do it on purpose and subconsciously, he is just building a big, giant... Penis.
Which is kind of why he and I get back to it. He and
no,
Elon
it might
are
be.
Having their
the measuring contest. He's like, you know what?
Billionaire measuring
my rocket's
contest.
Gonna be bigger than your rocket. He's like, okay.
So this is pretty cool though. So, yeah. So Captain Kirk goes up there. They had to delay it 24 hours and then even delayed it I think a couple times today. But you go up there, you come back down. There were two people that apparently paid minimum of $250,000 to go do it, and then it was Bezos' brother. Hmm. And he decided to bring William Shatner. Shatner was really cool, though, because I saw a video of after they landed, and they're popping champagne, and Shatner said it's the most profound thing I've ever... No, he actually... He didn't say it like that. He said it's the most profound thing that he's ever gone through, and you could tell he was really appreciative to Bezos. Mm. And you could tell Bezos... I mean, he tried to... Bezos is like a computer. Like,
yeah,
there's like
couldn't process
really
the emotion.
Couldn't process the
He's
feeling.
Like Kawhi Leonard. He's and like,
he, yeah, right.
You are.
It's exactly what it was.
Welcome.
And he looked at him and then kind of gave right arm up, left arm
Computing
up.
Handshake. Computing
All right.
handshake.
We call this a hug. And Shatner then hugs him back. And I thought, oh, God.
Yeah, the android Bezos. Yeah.
Bezos has a little Mark Zuckerberg in him.
Zuckerberg's got that too.
Yeah.
It's either you become kind of like this robot or the personality that Elon Musk has. I'm not really sure what to even call that.
Right.
He's eccentric.
Eccentric.
He's eccentric.
You either lose all your personality or
human.
Gain too much personality.
Too much. You nailed it, John.
Yeah.
Too
goes
to the
no, the guy from,
It won't be just a good moderate, though.
No, you never keep yourself grounded, you know.
No, because if you have that much money, when you get to the billions, it's going to... Like, go. I think you go one way or the other with it, pretty much.
Yeah.
When you get to the billions, I mean, billions.
Yeah. No, you're either just dead inside in the computer or it's too much.
Like, now you've become this total, like, multi-purpose renaissance. Like, you don't even know who
you
are.
What do I like about this smell?
Because you're
of
so
trash.
Many things. Yeah. Yeah.
No, don't tell me.
I don't use deodorant anymore.
Right.
I go on SNL and be Wario. It's all this stuff.
Everything that life should be.
It's hard to stay grounded when you're a billionaire. Let's be honest. It's just hard.
True.
Well, I'd like to give that a shot.
I think we would all like to.
If only they had the resources
to
get the counseling to make that possible. Yeah, whatever.
That's the other thing.
It's not like they don't have time or money.
But it's the same thing with Jerry Jones. You're surrounded by yes people.
That's it.
Exactly.
That's
sycophants.
That's it. Yeah. So there isn't someone in your group that'll go, hey, man, you know what? Look, I love you. You've kind of changed. You may need to get some therapy.
Nope. Nobody will tell you that.
You're fired.
Yeah. Well, then nobody, you left out the wheel. You don't get left out of the wheel. You're right. Like, no. I'm not upset that guy. I can't. You watch the show Succession on HBO?
I have, yes.
That show.
That is.
You would love that show.
I do like, and I've only seen a little bit. I do like it.
Might be the best drama on TV right now. Man. It's a dark comedy. It is fantastic.
It's fantastic. It's coming back. There's a lot of truth to it.
It's exactly. It reminds you of these billionaires. It does. Their families, yeah.
And their families. Yep. Yeah, so their families are essentially plotting just to get the money when it's all done.
It is Shakespearean.
But it's just, it's lying after lying. Yeah. And the performance art.
It's great. It really is. That's a good show.
It is a good show. All right, so ski me up, body. Got that
ski
one.
Ski me up, body.
Ski me up, Scotty. That was the line, right?
That's what X-Man tells Sark. Hey, ski me up, body.
Oh, God. All right, we're going to get back to some football. Early thoughts on the big college football games and NFL games this weekend. We got some good matchups. We'll get to them up next.